Good evening. Our scripture for this evening is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 34 to 35. Jesus says that we're supposed to love one another as he has loved us. Is that possible? When we think of how much God loved us, it ought to make us want to love others more. I think the older I get, I realize the importance of having love one for another. And so let's read from chapter 13, 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Thankful for the scripture tonight, and let's come before the Lord in prayer, that those who are at that able.
Thank you for praying for the speaker this evening, and especially Brother Art for his prayer. We appreciate that and certainly need it. The title of the message is The Identifying Mark. The Methodist preacher Charles Allen tells of a little girl who went on an errand for her mother, and she was late coming back, and her mother asked for an explanation when the child returned. And the child explained that a playmate of hers down the street had fallen and broken her doll, and that she had helped her. The mother wondered what she could do to help mend a broken doll. The little girl made a marvelous reply when she said, "I just sat down and helped her cry." It was an act of love. One little girl showing love to another. And I suppose that loving one another is lived out in perhaps endless and countless different ways. It's crying with someone and taking time with them. Sometimes it's laughing with them, taking time to pray, sharing a meal, making a visit, sending a text, or making a call, or sending a card, and serving in countless ways. Dennis Waitley did an acrostic of the word love. And here's how he did it. With the L, he said, love is listening when another is speaking. I wanted to think about that a little bit, because I think that's valuable, and I think we might need some help in that one sometimes, because I have found when I'm talking to someone, I can tell when they're not listening to me. And you know, I found myself doing the same thing, where someone's talking to me, and you need to really focus, and sometimes I drift off. So I think that's one week we could do some help. At least I know I can. But for the O, he wrote this. He said, overlooking petty faults and forgiving all failures. For the V, valuing other people for who they are. And for the E, expressing love in a practical way. And I thought that was pretty good. These are all ways that we can live out loving each other. And Jesus said that loving each other is the way that people will know that we are his disciples. That's pretty significant. And it's pretty impressive. And really, it was some time back when I was reading in this chapter, and it kind of stuck out to me. And when you think about it, how significant that is. By loving each other, loving others is the way that people will know that I'm a follower of Christ, that you are a follower of Christ. And think of all the other things that Jesus could have said that would be the way that people would know that we're his disciples. For example, he could have said, if you attend church, then people will know that you're my disciples. It would make sense that if people know we're churchgoers, that might mean we're Christ's disciples. Well, obviously that doesn't mean that for everybody today. But it certainly is true that normally Christ's disciples are church-going people. church attending people. Jesus could have said, if you obey my words, people will know that you're my disciples. We did say in John 14:15 that keeping his commandments or his words is true of those who love him. He said in John 15:14, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you, in other words, my words. And he said in John 8:31, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Pretty important. But still, Jesus didn't say that is how people will know we're his disciples. And there's just something significant about loving each other. Jesus didn't say that if you live separated from the world, then people will know that you're his disciple. He didn't say that either. Certainly, believers are to be different than the world and separated from the world. In fact, as believers, we are already separated unto Christ. John 15:19 says, Jesus speaking, if ye were of the world, and if ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. In other words, when we become believers in Jesus, Jesus has chosen us out of the world, so he automatically at that point separates us. But then we are to separate ourselves. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And 2 Corinthians 6:17, we know this one well, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Certainly, being separated from the world is important, but it's not what Jesus said would show the world we're his disciples. Jesus didn't say, if you bear a lot of fruit, then people will know that you're my disciples. But he did say that it would be an evidence of being, one of the things that would be a result of us being a disciple of his, John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Certainly it's important for believers to bear fruit, but it is not what Jesus said would cause others to know that we're his disciples. It is true that all of these that I've referenced, going to church, obeying Christ's word, living a separated life and bearing fruit, all of them in their own way can reveal that we are disciples of Christ. They are to be a part of our lives as disciples. But Jesus placed a special importance on loving each other. Something significant about it. Jesus didn't say, if you do this, and you can fill in the blank, or if you don't do, and you can fill in the blank there, then people will know you're my disciples. He didn't make it a box that we can easily check off, but he said something that involves the core person, the person who I am, our heart. And it's not easy. It's not something necessarily easy to do, but it requires more from us, more of us, and it takes the help of the Holy Spirit within us. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. It's the one thing that Jesus said would prove to others that we're guilty of being Christ's disciples. We won't be able to hide who we belong to if we have love for one another. Loving each other will be the ultimate identifying mark that we're believers and followers of Jesus. So why is this love so important? What makes love so unique and so special that loving others is the identifying mark? Well, number one, I believe it's, and this is not going to be an exhaustive list. You might have others you could include. But number one, I believe because God loves us. 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And the word there, if, means it's not referring to, well, maybe God loves us, maybe he don't. The word if there is means for as much as. In other words, beloved, for as much as God loved us, he does, he did, and he does, we ought also to love one another. That's pretty plain, really, and straightforward. For as much as God loved me, you, then I, or you, ought to love others. The word ought is interesting. It means to owe, or to be under obligation, to be bound. In other words, because God loves us, it puts me, it puts you under obligation to love others. We owe it to them. Well, secondly, in considering why love is so important, that Jesus said by loving others, it'll be our identifying mark to people who will know then that we're Christ's disciples. Number two, it is a result of loving God and knowing him. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? In other words, if we claim to love God, then we have to love others. There's no in between. It's because of our love for God that we need to love others, or our love for God is then in question. If I don't have a love for others, my love for God is in question. In fact, the word how there in the verse 1 John 4:20, where it says, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? How there means in what way, and it has an exclamation with it. In other words, it would be like this. If he doesn't love his brother, how much can he love God? Exclamation point. In other words, he can't. Well, make it personal. If I, and you put your name in there, or yourself, if I don't love my brother, how much can I love God? Loving others is the identifying mark of believers, because it is a result of believers loving God. Well, thirdly, as to why love is so important, that it makes it the identifying mark of us as believers, it shows the oneness of believers. In John 17, 20 to 23, if you want to just listen or turn there, it's up to you. I'm going to read those verses, John 17, 20 to 23. Neither pray I for these alone, Jesus speaking, praying, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Notice in verse 21, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. And this phrase here, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And verse 23, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And again, listen to this, perfect there means complete, that they may be made complete in one. And then it says, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So this oneness that we have in Christ and that we are to have with each other, and we do as believers. Why is this oneness of believers so important? The oneness of believers is a result of believing the truth from God's word. And it brings us together through the Holy Spirit, making us one with other believers and then one with God the Father and Jesus the Son. And then it's a oneness that shows through our love for each other. Because of this oneness that believers have, then the world may know that God the Father sent His Son Jesus out of His love for them. It's the same love that God had for His own Son. Colossians 3 talks of how this love brings us together. It talks about what we are to put off and what we are to put on with the new man as the elect of God. And in verse 14 of Colossians 3, it says this, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is love, which is the bond of perfectness." And again, perfectness, there is the word completeness, the idea of being complete. And bond, so this, above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of completeness. Bond is a joint tie, such as a ligament. You know what ligaments do? Ligaments connect bone to bone and stabilize joints. When I broke my leg in 2000, had gone over to Mummert's to open church. Opened their church, it was a Sunday evening. Came back and it was in the winter. There was ice on the driveway, on the stone driveway. I got out of the car, stepped on that ice, and I heard it snap. And when I was on the ground and I looked down, it was my left leg at the bottom of my leg. My left foot was hanging like that. Why? Because the ligaments also tore. And the ligaments couldn't hold it together and stabilize it. That's what a ligament does. Ligament means a connecting or unifying bond. It is symbolic of a uniting principle. And God said in Colossians 3:14, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond or the unifying or the connecting together of perfectness. And it's interesting, it's so important, so binding, so unifying, that God says, above all these things, put it on. What was He referring to? Well, previous to that verse, He had mentioned bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Pretty important things. But He said, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Believers loving one another is the identifying mark of believers, which tells people we're Christ's disciples. Well, fourthly, why love is so important to make this mark is it simply, it looks like Jesus. It's loving like Jesus loves. John 15:12, "This is my commandment," Jesus speaking, "that ye love one another as I have loved you." When we love one another as Jesus has loved us, it is our lives looking like Jesus. I sure can't look like Jesus as He looked in His perfection. But we have opportunity through the help of the Holy Spirit to look like Jesus in how we love one another. It will present a picture to the world of how Jesus loves, and they will know, you know what? Because it's such an uncommon thing. They'll know they must be followers of Jesus. They must be His disciples. Fifthly, as to why love is so important to be in our identifying mark, God's love is perfected in us. 1 John 4:12, "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us." And that word perfected means fully carried out or complete and thorough. So it means that we have the ability to practice this love so others will see God's love in us by the help of the Holy Spirit, because God has placed the love in our hearts and it's perfected. It's complete. God's love is poured into our lives so that we can give it back out to other people. Loving one another reveals God's true love to people because it is perfected, made complete in us. It is fully carried out in us. It is thoroughly within us for the very reason to pass it on to others and bring God glory. Others see a picture of what God's love is being lived out right in front of them through you and through me. You know, God's purpose in loving us is not just for our benefit. You know, maybe sometimes I think that. Maybe, I don't know if you do or not. You know, thank you, God, for loving me. Look what I'm getting from this. I'm really benefiting. I don't deserve it, but thank you for loving me, because if not for that, I'd be going to hell. But you know what? It's not just for our benefit. But it is also so His love is perfected in us so that we'll love others. And then people will know that we're Christ's disciples and will be drawn to Him and believe that God sent them, or God sent Jesus to die for their sins. We've considered, looked at the identifying mark of a believer kind of as an introduction. And then why love is so important. That loving others is the identifying mark. And it's because God loves us. It's a result of loving God and knowing Him. It shows the oneness of believers. It looks like Jesus. And it's God's love, or God's love is perfected in us. Well, finally, let's consider, what is this love like? What is this love like? John 13:35 says, "By this shall all men know," it was read, "that ye are my disciples," been referring to it, "if ye have love one to another." Well, the previous verse, 34, says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that you," or "ye also love one another." Was it really a new commandment? The commandment to love one another was not new. In the Old Testament, the children of Israel knew very well. They were commanded in Leviticus 19:18, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." So the commandment to love was not new, but what made it a new commandment was that it was a different and a new standard by which that love was supposed to be carried out. The standard of love as I, Jesus speaking, said, "Love as I have loved you." That's quite a standard. Brother Art referred to it. How do we do that? Our loving to one of another is to be patterned after Jesus' love for me, for us. What is His love for us like? Well, His love for us was, number one, sacrificial. John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And that's exactly what Jesus did. They didn't take His life. He laid it down for His friends. Sacrificial means it's the giving up of something valued. If I have $10 million and see someone along the road and give them a dollar, I don't think that's going to be loving someone like Jesus loved me, because that wouldn't have much value to that person that gave it. But it's the giving up of something valued. And so that can be depending on the person and where they're at in life and so on. But it means it can involve time. Time has value. Energy. I have less and less of that. Less to give. Less to use. But that's something of value, material goods and money. Giving them for the good of someone else. Giving something of value. It's giving of ourselves, putting others ahead of ourselves. Unselfishness. Jesus did all of this in his love for us. Sacrificial acts can even be something that may not seem like much, even like a little girl getting down and crying with another little girl over her broken doll. Jesus' love for us was sacrificial. This love in loving others that identifies us as a follower of Jesus has to be sacrificial. Secondly, Jesus' love for us is unconditional. Unconditional in that it's unlimited. Jesus' offer of salvation and new life is open to all. No one's excluded. No race is discriminated against. No gender is left out. No age group is left out. Don't matter if you're older, if you're old, older, young, middle-aged, or wherever you think you fit in between somewhere. All classes of society, the richest to the poorest, are included. Those who think there's no hope for them or that they're too far gone, they're included. Even the worst of sinners is included. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, meaning all or any, every person that believeth in him. Romans 10:13-4, whosoever. Again, the aspect of unconditional in that it's unlimited. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Our love for one another should always be unconditional. You say, well, I don't like that person. Doesn't matter. I deal with the same thing. Doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that anything goes or that we don't have any standards or rules of conduct. But even in the midst of all that, we still need to have unconditional love. You see, you can love someone even though they're doing something they shouldn't be doing. Or you don't agree with everything they're doing. We still can love them. So, in other words, none of those things which that dictate or none of those things should dictate our love or make it conditional. Jesus loved the outcasts of society, the hurting, the ones looked down on by others, the ones that don't fit in. He loved the ones that hated him, that hurt him, that hung him on the cross. He still loved them. You know, is our love for one another, for others, unconditional? That's to me, you can answer that for yourself. Someone wrote these words that are very convicting. Think about it. See if you find yourself in these words. I know I have at times. It says the people in the line, they make me pretty mad sometimes. Days when I've got a lot to do, they do something and the line won't move. Gas line at Sam's. Sometimes that's pretty long. Or somewhere where somebody's getting gas and they leave their car sit in front of you. Go into the store. But things being what they are, chances are good that there's a broken heart standing in front of me or right behind. And I know it's Jesus who brings that to my mind about the people in the line. The people on the road, in the traffic everywhere I go, cut in front of me way too fast. I go crazy when they drive like that. But I wonder if it just might be. There's someone somewhere that they need to reach. They're driving barely hanging on to hope. So I pray to have more grace for the things I don't know about the people on the road. People all around me that I barely see, in need of mercy, in need of peace, struggling underneath a heavy load. Jesus died for people in the line and the people on the road. What about the people in this church? That we know, or maybe it's family. Do we have an unconditional love for all? Or are we excluding some? Wrongly judging and not forgiving. Well, that leads to number three. Jesus' love for us is one that's forgiving. What Jesus has forgiven us, me, places me in the position that we have no excuse before God not to forgive others. None. Absolutely none. Pretty much that's enough that all that needs to be said. I really don't say you need to say any more than that. If we're honest, we've been forgiven so much that I or you are without excuse when it comes to forgiving others. This loving of others, that is the identifying mark of our lives that will cause others to know that we're disciples of Jesus, is a love that is patterned after Jesus' love. It's sacrificial. It's unconditional and forgiving. And then lastly, and again, this, you could maybe add some more to this, but this is my last one. Lastly, Jesus' love for us is a choice. He didn't have to love us, but he did, and he still does. It's one thing that he did. Of course, he knew everything about his sin. But the fact that he still does, after I still fail him and have to go to him and, okay, Lord, I did this or I did that. Yeah, I know. I just did it not long ago. Please forgive me. He still loves me. He chooses. Even while we were yet sinners, Jesus chose to die for us out of his love for us. The love that Jesus said would cause others to know that we're her disciples. It's an agape love. And that's a good thing because that means it's a choice. We can choose it. We can choose to do it. We have the ability to choose to love people, even those we don't like. It's not based on feelings or on anything other than the fact that we choose to follow Christ's command and we choose to love people. When we choose to love others, it's not based on feelings or what we're going to get out of it. And that's when it's not based on one of those two things, that makes it uncommon to the world. And that makes it an identifying mark of us as believers to say that others will look at us and say, why are they so different? And they find out, yeah, they're followers of Jesus. It's so uncommon. This loving of one another, loving of others, is a choice we can and a choice that we must make. 1 John 3:23 says, and this is his commandment, speaking of Jesus, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. It's interesting to me. He says two things. Believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we know that involves living it out and so on. But then he says, love one another. And that's all he says. This is his commandment that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. You know what? Because if I love others or love one another, it's going to take care of a whole big list of things, isn't it? Because I won't lie about them. I won't covet what they have. I won't murder them. And I won't say things and gossip and things that are like murdering them. Because I truly am loving them. The new commandment to love as he loved us. This commandment to love one another is so important, so vital, that it is the identifying mark in our lives as believers that causes people to know that we're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we want to be identified as followers of Jesus? I believe you all do. I know I do. Then we need to be loving one another and others.
One of the things that we need to remember, love is eternal because God is love. Love can be expensive. It costs the Father his Son. It costs the Son to obey the Father, his life. We are told in the scripture to love the brethren in particular fervently with heat, so to speak, ardent love. So if you look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. If you look up the word charity in Strong's, you'll find that it's unique because it's never going to end. It is eternal, where faith and hope will come to an end. Let us kneel for prayer.